an Alabama courthouse, a granite monument engraved with the Ten Commandments, and a judge who believed they should stay there. The struggle over the public viewing of God's law to man led to Chief Justice Roy Moore being ousted from office, evidence that God is being systematically excluded from public life. Today, more about the judgment of God on America. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series is God and the Nations, and today, Dr. Lutzer comes to speak for a final time about God and the United States.
I want you to know, regardless of what you think of Judge Moore in Alabama, whom I met yesterday, by the way, I was speaking at Promise Keepers in Atlanta. 15,000 men at Promise Keepers in Atlanta. You want to hear something that's good about America? Think back to what God is doing in so many different areas of this great nation. But Judge Moore, who was there, was telling us and showing us really, and I spoke to one of his attorneys, that constitutionally, if you look strictly at the Constitution, those Ten Commandments had a place there in the Supreme Court building. Those commandments, constitutionally, should have belonged there. Now, we can argue whether or not this was really the cause to fight and say this or that, but I'll tell you what is happening is there are judges in America today who are no longer interpreting the Constitution and interpreting the law. They are making up the law in the United States of America. Now, let me ask you, what happens when law no longer rules? The vacuum is filled with power. Let me give you an illustration from our childhood days. Fourth grade, here's me. And I have a teacher by the name of Mrs. Watson. Mrs. Watson was a meticulous disciplinarian, a good teacher, though. Good, fair, but tough. She had certain rules for our playground, you know, because we used to play various games that I won't tell you about because I'm in a too good a mood right now to go into that. But the rules were, you shall not hit one another, you shall not talk naughty to one another, you shall share all of the equipment, the sports equipment, and so forth. And every once in a while, she came out of the schoolhouse during recess just to check on how the kids were playing. And we played reasonably well. Very few hassles when Mrs. Watson was there with her rules. Now, let's suppose we say, you know, these rules sound Christian. In fact, Mrs. Watson, God bless her, she is an informed Christian, and we can't have those laws. And so what we need to do is to take the rules, and we need to get rid of them, and we need to get rid of her too. Now let me ask you a question. Whose will survive out on the playing field when the rules are no longer there and no one enforcing them? You can answer that. The school bully. Whatever he wants will go. And I'm going to speak to you candidly. In America today, there are people who do not respect the rule of law or the rule of morality, and they are into one thing and one thing alone, and that is power. And they will destroy, they will distort, they will vilify, they will do all that they possibly can to get their way without conscience, because power is taking up the place that law and morality used to have in America. And people can no longer even resolve the simplest thing without some kind of an appeal to law and to the laws of this nation. And that's a great story in itself, because America no longer is rooted in God. What did the terrorist attack prove about unbelievers? They proved something, I guess, that we should have known. Dead people don't hear very well. God sends the alarm from heaven, and it lasts for a few weeks, and then you'd think that nothing had ever happened, and everything goes back to where it was. What's God's message to us as believers? As believers. And here I just want to read very quickly verse 20, 21, and 24. Verse 20, in that day the remnant of Israel, the survivors of the house of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but they will rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return, a remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. And then very quickly, verse 24, therefore this is what the Lord God Almighty says, O my people who live in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians who beat you with a rod and lift up a club against you as did Egypt. Don't be afraid of them, because they don't have the final word in your life anyway. I do. Two observations in conclusion here. Number one, when it comes to such things as terrorism, when it comes to such things as a bad economy, and the economy right now is as unpredictable as a new bottle of ketchup, seems to me. When it comes to that, we shouldn't ask the question, why us, but rather, why not us? Seems as if God has just chosen to bless America in ways that no other country is blessed. Other countries, huge earthquakes, tidal waves, wars, civil wars, poverty, hunger, and certainly we have that here, but we have resources, the likes of which no nation on earth has ever had. But can it be that we can always just expect blessing, 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 when God says, I set before you a path? And the path is one of blessing and a path of judgment and cursing. And all that we can expect from his hand is blessing. I don't think so. So the question is, are we ourselves, are we getting the message? Are we getting the message? What about the church, Episcopalians, I believe it is, ordaining homosexuals? Everybody says, oh, they're apostate. Oh, my friend. They were apostate long ago when they stopped giving up the uniqueness of Jesus as the only way to heaven. That's where apostasy happens. This other is just the end result. That's just the end result of years of doctrinal erosion. So what you have today among the believing church is a lack of recognition that what God is always trying to say to us is to get back to the Word, back to holy living, back to witnessing. And I wonder if we as a church are hearing that message. Finally, isn't it wonderful that for the believer there are no permanent tragedies? But for unbelievers, there's no permanent blessings. Always remember that. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you may have made it in many, many different areas of your life, but there's no permanent blessing. You may have survived a terrorist attack, because in the end, everything is going to be sorted out, and you will have to die, and you will stand in God's presence. And remember, the only ones who will be admitted into heaven are those who have the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to their account and therefore meet God's requirements. And so, there is no real permanent blessing for you today if you've never trusted Christ as Savior. In the end, it will all come apart. I remember a wealthy man, millions and millions of dollars before he died, spoke about life and all of its heartaches and tragedies, and spoke disparagingly of the life that he lived. I will not quote it because it's really not quotable in a public meeting. But what a way to go. But he had it all. But there was no permanent blessings. But for the Christian, there is no such thing as a permanent tragedy. No permanent tragedy. Since we're speaking about terrorism, I'm reminded of Flight 93 over Pennsylvania with Todd Beamer and his famous line, "Let's roll." And then we think of Lisa Beamer, a widow, and the witness that she has had for Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel. Of course it's a tragedy to lose a father and to lose a husband. We won't even have to exaggerate that for you to know it's a great tragedy, but it is not a permanent tragedy. God says, do not fear the Assyrians, he's saying to his people. Don't worry about them because I am there for you at the end of the day, and I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. This really does come home to Rebecca and me right at this time. As you know, our son-in-law, God bless him, a fine young man, is in Baghdad in the peacekeeping corps of the United States Army. But his father here in the Chicago area is struggling with cancer, greatly struggling with cancer. And we spent 2 hours with him this past week. And you say, here's a young man, 53 years old, who wants to see his grandchildren. He has seen one grandchild, but he'd like to be able to see another grandchild. Here's a young man, 53 years old. It's a tragedy, isn't it? But it's not a permanent tragedy. It's not a permanent tragedy. There's all of eternity out there. There's all of eternity for God not only to explain it, whether he wants to explain it or not is his business, because at the end of the day, when we see him face to face, I don't know that we're going to need a whole lot of explanations. And God is with his people in a troubled economy, with the possibility of terrorism, with fearful things on the news. God is with us to the end. No permanent tragedies for those who know Jesus. And it is in that that we rest. Yes, at another time I'm going to be telling you what we should do in light of our great need here in America. That's coming up soon. But for now, I just want you to rejoice in the fact that our confidence is in him who said, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee, and you need not fear news from a far country, the Bible says, if you fear God. So we're in his hands. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and this would be a wonderful opportunity for me to tell you about what true commitment means. Of course, I have only a few seconds to do it, and maybe at a later time I'll go more into detail. But here's the bottom line. What we must do is to transfer our future and our present to God. That commitment must be so complete that we can see that it rests upon God's shoulders and not ours. And from personal experience, I can tell you that when we do that, our fears and the anticipation of the future that I was speaking about, all that not only becomes bearable, but there's a sense of peace. When we realize that we are not in the hands of fate, we're not in the hands of politics, we're not in the hands of evil people, or for that matter, in the hands of doctors, we are, my friend, in the living hands of God.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has now concluded God and the United States, another in his 6-part series on God and the nations. Tomorrow, join us for the last message in this series as Erwin Lutzer looks into the future and speaks on the nations in prophecy. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our current series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about God and the nations. For information about many other ministry resources from Moody Church, visit our website. You'll find us at runningtowin.org. Don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners just like you. This is Dave McAllister. What do the prophets say about the nations? To find out, join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.